Okay, good evening, everybody. I don't remember how many years it's been, but Shachianu v'kimanu v'giyanu azman hazeh, that we are back in person. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Your shus, my dear, I'm not going to say colleagues, my dear friends, my chaverim and the chevra that are here tonight to learn together. We have a nice amount of people that are on Zoom as well. There's great food here, by the way, for those that are in Zoom. But to let you know. And it's really great to be here to prepare for Pesach the right way together. I feel like this is a rehashing of the Maaseh Ibn Ebrach, that we're here together, we're learning, the Rebbeim, Talmidim, the Chevra, the friends, we're all together, learning together. Really, that is just the most important point here, that we're here together to learn. I'm going to begin by sharing words of Torah from Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. I had a report, one of my daughters had a report to do. She was assigned Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. I think because they knew she was a rabbi's daughter, they gave her one of the more challenging paragraphs. And I have four approaches to this paragraph. What I find most important about the Seder is not really the answers to the questions. Very often, like, you have the answer, and sometimes you feel, if you're running the Seder especially, I want to give my answer. It's not about your answer. Not about your answer. It's really about the question and discussion that is engendered based on the question. So I have a good question. I have a few different answers, which are wonderful. You say the answer is great. If not, the question, I think, itself is very strong. We learned, Yochel Meirosh Chodesh, you would have thought that we should have began the holiday of Pesach on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which means a few days ago. Shabbos should have been the first day of Pesach, and then Pesach would have lasted for approximately 22 days. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara says, doesn't work. Baal Gada says, you need it to be with matzah and maror. Matzah and maror is only on the 15th at night. So too, Pesach needs to begin only then. But what is the Havamina, we say? Why would we even think? Why would we even consider that Pesach would begin early? Just to put the numbers into perspective, Purim would still take place on, right, the 15th of Adar, and then only 2 weeks later, you would have Pesach. That would pretty intense time period. You think it's intense now? That would even be more. So four approaches. Number one, I think this is the most classic answer to this question, is that really somehow, what all the Achronim that we're going to quote are really addressing are somehow something happened in Rosh Chodesh Nisan that already shifted our perspective from slavery to freedom. Avdus L'cheves. Answer number one is we were given the first mitzvah on that day, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, the ability for us, the Jewish people, to be in control of the calendar. Answer number one, Rabbi Salvechik says in the name of the Sforno, his answer is that the main difference between a slave and a free person is their ability to control time. A slave has no control of their time. What do I do? My agenda, everything is dictated by the master, and a free person has all the time on their hands, and it's their responsibility. So here they were given that at that moment, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they were given the mitzvah of time, and that is already the shifting of the tide of from Avdus to Chayrus. Secondly, Rabbi Friend in his Agada says something really, really beautiful. Rabbi Friend writes is that an Eved is beaten down, has no dignity, is full of shame. Think of somebody that stole and then needs to become an Eved, and they have to walk around, you know, in tow with somebody else. Sure, there are mitzvahs to try to give them a little bit of dignity, but it's not really theirs. So the Chikrei Lev, Rabbi Frank calls the Chikrei Lev, that says at this moment on Aleph Nisan, the Jewish people were given dignity. They were given not just time or control of time, responsibility, not a word about that, but it's that they were given their dignity now. Slowly, 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 at this moment, they felt good about themselves. You now can do what you need to do. You have mitzvahs, you have responsibility, already giving that dignity back to the Jewish people that was taken away from them for so long. We have many mitzvot that are associated with taking care of someone's dignity. The mitzvot tzedakah, you have to make sure, not just to pay someone, you know, make sure they have their expenses, but to give them back to their dignity where they were pre, you know, they lost their losses. Taking care of the elderly, it's all about dignity to assume that they can have, you know, they lose their faculties in certain areas. We have to take care of them. That's answer number two. Answer number three, Rav Druk, in his amazing Haggadah, quotes that at this moment, This moment, we learned it on Parsha Chodesh. We were in Shmos Yudbeis. We were given the commandment that we were already going to leave. Moshe tells the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, hey guys, you're going to leave. Even though physically we didn't leave till 15 days later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once he said it, ki lo asav. It was like he did it already. So it was automatic, it was going to happen. It was, and once he said it, it's like it happened already. And answer number four is that we were given the first mitzvah. Forget about what the mitzvah is all about, but the fact that we were given commandments, and now we were mitzvah. We had this new level where we had mitzvos, that already makes us like free people. Those that are truly free are those that are osek in Torah. Eilecha, ben chora, elamisha osek b'torah. So those are the four answers to this question. Why yachol me Rosh Chodesh? Why would you think Pesach begins on Rosh Chodesh? Either it's about time. That's what we began getting already on the first day of Nisan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our dignity back. Answer number three, it's like we already left. And four, it's because we got our first mitzvah. Followed up by Rabbi Shestak. Go ahead. On Kadesh Orphans. I think Rabbi Jerk also. Yeah. Go ahead.
Even though we have a little Google Doc of who's going to speak about what, I don't think that we could have imagined that it would dovetail quite as well these two topics to such an extent that I was a little bit nervous. the number that we're all familiar with as finding its way into the Seder in all these different ways is the number four. There's another number that makes its way into the Seder in all of these subtle ways to such an extent that we have to contend with it as something that's inherently meaningful. You want to take a guess at what that number is? Not on in-person people. 3, 5, okay, we're trying to stay close to home here. 13, okay, right, who knows one, right, Echad Miyodeh, all the way up to 13. 10, okay, we have good reasons for 10 also. I'm going to go even higher than that, 15. There's a number that makes its way into the Seder in all of these different ways, starting with the Seder, the order itself. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, you can count along at home. Yachatz, Magid, Rachza, Motzi, Matzah, Maror, Korech, Shulchan Orech, Safun, Barei, Halel, Nirtza. 15. 15 stages, 15 steps that we're utilizing on this night. And it's particularly strange because, I mean, we split up Motzi Matzah. The Haggadah splits up Motzi Matzah, but it's quite strange to do that. When we talk about our Friday night dinner experience, we usually say we're going to make Kiddush and Hamotzi. We don't say Kiddush and then wash and then Hamotzi. We don't add in all of these stages, but Pesach, we got to be at 15. So, okay, we're going to give Rachza. We're going to even give Urchatz. They're going to be separate. We're going to give Motzi Matzah separate. Okay, Safun and Barei separate. What's going on there? Great. And we sing at the end and we call that another step. We call that Nirtza. So we end up with 15 steps. There are also 15 lines of Dayinu. We want to get particular. If you go through the list, we won't read them all inside. Shehotzianu mimitzrayim, v'yasa lanu v'asa bahem shifatim, v'yasa be'elohem, v'aragis bechoreim, etc. There are 15. You can count it on at home or on Seder night. 15. And a lot of these are also not so consequential to such an extent that the commentaries ask questions like, would it really have been enough if we had the man and didn't have Shabbos? Would it really be enough if we got to Har Sinai and didn't get the Torah? And the reason why we have these questions is because the stages themselves are relatively insignificant at times. It seems like we're kind of stuffing it with more to get up to 15. And of course, and this is where the flip side of Rabbi Markowitz's words comes in, Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. We could have already had Pesach already at Rosh Chodesh, but we don't. We wait all the way until 15. There's something super important, it seems to be, about 15 in all of these different ways. That's because 15 is not just a date. Multiple midrashim mention specifically that the unique quality of the 15th is that kaima siara ba'ashlemusa. that there is a full expression of the moon. The disk is full. It's complete. And there's something incredibly powerful about a nation that is akin to the moon, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, a nation that defines itself by the moon, in this full state of expression. Not just that. There are 15 steps, 15 Shir HaMalos, from the Ezras Nashim to the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Mishnah explains, those steps were in the shape of a semicircle, so that you would have the you would be able to imagine the growth of the moon as you go up these 15 stages from Rosh Chodesh, from nothing, all the way until a full expression. And we find that that's also present in the generations itself, as they relate to Leil HaSeder as well. There are 15 generations from Abraham to Shlomo. 15 generations from Abraham to Shlomo, and another 15 generations from Shlomo to Tzidkiyahu, to the destruction at the times of Nebuchadnezzar. We have 15 generations getting up to full expression, and then 15 generations as the moon wanes as well. The Vilna Gaon notes that there's a tradition that as we talk about Mashiach at the conclusion of the Seder, Mashiach ben David, it's literally ben David. It's Shlomo HaMelech himself. How exactly that works is certainly beyond the scope of, it's above my pay grade for sure. But Shlomo HaMelech himself, he's the ben David. He's the son of David. He's the full expression. The thing about Shlomo HaMelech is that he's a complicated character. Shlomo is flawed. He could be even characterized as having hubris, if you will, because there's something that comes along with that full expression. Everything is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. The land of Eretz Yisrael is at its largest expansion at this time in Jewish history. The wisest of kings. And it's not perfect. There's a complexity. There's a tension that we normally, when we think about Shlomo HaMelech, we don't usually think about Shlomo HaMelech in completely glowing terms. We usually think about it in some tension. That's usually the way that we relate to Hashem, that there's some tension, that we're trying to get a fuller expression. We're trying to get closer and closer, but there's also this retreat as we get closer because it's Hashem. How could we even stand in his presence? And so there's this tension that we normally experience, but not on Leil HaSeder. Every Jewish holiday is meant to be a manifestation of some Jewish ideal that we couldn't possibly do every day of the year, but is crucial to impact the way that we think about the way that we relate to Hashem, Judaism, in general. On Pesach, it's the strive. It's aiming for the full moon. We desperately want the closeness because on Pesach, we experience the hand of Hashem, b'chvodo v'atzma. And when we experience that glory, it's incredible and we want it. We can't strive and run full speed ahead towards that type of closeness year-round. It would lead to hubris, the types of problems that Shlomo HaMelech says. But lest we be overly cautious, perhaps even apathetic, we have Seder nights tell us it's okay to charge full speed ahead towards the full experience, the expression of what it means to behold God's presence. And we do that one night a year. Perhaps that's why there's the minhag that develops that's already quoted in Maseches Sofrim and finds its full expression, if you will, in the Chaye Adam, to read Shir HaShirim at the end of the Seder. Because that is the book, the Kodesh Kodashim of Tanakh, where we're running full speed ahead. And where, yes, there's that tension that exists there, but on Seder night, towards Shir HaShirim, we're going full speed ahead.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's really a pleasure to be back live this year after a 3-year hiatus. I want to start off by mentioning that this evening marks 120 years since the birth of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Ukraine. And so Chassidim worldwide are commemorating this special date. And of course, it's always right before Pesach. Share a quick story. The Rebbe's father was the chief rabbi in Yekaterina Slav. And in Ukraine, that's where the wheat fields are. And that's where they always were. And at one point, the communist government took over the mills in Russia. And every year before that, people would come from all over Russia to purchase their grain for matzah. And when they took over the mills, they realized that they're going to need some sort of hashkacha. They want the Jews to buy the wheat. And they came to the Rebbe's father and they wanted him to give a hashkacha. And he said he's happy to give a hashkacha, but it has to be shmura and it has to be kadasa kedim. And they ended up sending him to Moscow, and which he went. And he was able to negotiate actual real shmura matzah, that every single mill would be under a proper hashkacha. And this was an incredible feat. One man against the Russian government, who was not very friendly to Jews, he stood firm and made sure that Jews of Russia would be able to have matzah shmura. It's interesting that there was many campaigns that the Rebbe initiated. One of the campaigns that the Rebbe initiated was making sure that people should have matzah shmura for the Seder. Of course, matzah shmura is a little bit more expensive. It's expensive, but it's worth it. You can buy for $20, $30 at Food Showcase or in ShopRite a box of shmura matzah. And so I implore you to do two things. Number one, everybody who's participating here should make sure that they have proper matzah shmura. You don't have to risk your life for this. You could just buy it. It's $25 or whatever it is. That's step one. Make sure that you're using matzah shmura the way it's supposed to be. It'll imbue you with a sense of faith and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But take it a step further. Buy, instead of one box, buy two boxes. And take the second box and find another Yid who would not have matzah shmura at their Seder and give them this box and tell them, celebrate with a box of shmura matzah the way it's meant to be. And you never know. You're handing them faith. You're handing them, it's not just a box of matzah, it's not $25. You're handing them faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You never know what this small investment might come out to. The next thing I want to talk about is the Gemara Pesachim. It's very interesting. Of course, we have a Gemara Pesachim named after Pesach. And we have other Gemaras that are named after the Yomim Tovim. Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, we have Masechtas Yuma, we have Masechtas Sukkah, we have Masechtas Yom Tov, right? Shavuos, for those who don't know, has nothing to do with Shavuos. That's a whole different thing altogether. But Pesachim is after Pesach, but Pesachim is so interesting because Pesachim is in the plural. Pesachim is not in the singular. Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Yom Tov, Sukkah, all in the singular. There's a single holiday in the year called Sukkah, and that's what the Gemara is called. But Pesachim is called Pesachim in the plural. And the question is why? Why is Pesachim in the plural? And so the answer to this is that Pesach is not actually a single holiday. It's a holiday that's made up of two parts to it. There's the first days of Pesach, and then there's the last days of Pesach. Now, although in theory they're all one unit, but there are different focuses on the first day of Pesach and on the last day of Pesach. The first days of Pesach, we commemorate the exodus from Egypt. That's what Pesach is all about. We have the Seder, etc., etc. And the last days of Pesach focus on Mashiach. And that's why we have the Haftarah, which focuses on Mashiach, and Achron Shel Pesach. So Pesach is not just a commemoration of something that happened, but it's actually something that we're looking forward to. We end off the Haggadah, Lashon HaBob Yerushalayim. We start off Avodah Mayinu, we end off Lashana Haba. It's a journey from the beginning of the Jewish people's time until the Achras Hayomim. And so on Pesach, it's a time that we have to look back, but we also have to look forward. It's Pesachim, the Pesach that we experienced going out of Mitzrayim, and the Karban Pesach that we're going to enjoy in Mirza Hashem this year, when we will have the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh. Final thought that I want to share with you is a nuanced difference in the Haggadah and the Manashtana. The Manashtana, we have different orders that we have in the Manashtana. In Minhag and Ashkenaz, the first question makes a lot of sense. What's the first question in the Ashkenaz version of the Haggadah? Is the question of chametz or matzah, right? Why on all of the nights we eat chametz or matzah, but on this night we only eat matzah? That makes sense, because matzah, especially in our day and age, that's the mitzvah d'oraisa that we're going to fulfill. That's the mitzvah of the Torah that we're going to fulfill this evening. We have to eat matzah. Wine, of course, is midrabanan, and the maror without the carbon pesach also midrabanan. What's the mitzvah that we're going to have midrabanan? What's the main thing that we need to do tonight? The main thing that we need to do is eat matzah. Haggadah itself also is from the Torah. But the main item at the Seder plate is going to be the matzah. And so when the child is asking questions, the most important question is why is this night that we have to eat matzah versus chametz? But in Sfarad and in Chabad, Siddim, and the Rambam Zagada, he has a different question first. What is the question that the Rambam has first, or the Chabad? Why on this night? Why on all other nights? We don't even dip once. When on this night, we dip twice. Now this, of course, is a minhag. It's a minhag. If you missed out on it, so you missed a minute, but you didn't miss eating matzah on Pesach. If you had to decide which one is more important, obviously eating the matzah is more important. So why is it that in this version of the Haggadah, the minhag, we ask the question on the minhag first. And this question is not an original question of mine. The Rebbe asks this question. The Rebbe explains that the entire point of the Haggadah and the entire point of the Leil HaSeder is to educate our children. The Haggadah Tol Avincha, it's passing on the Mesorah to the next generation. And if you want to know how to pass on the Mesorah to the next generation, it's not only about what is Dairaisa, what's a mitzvah from the Torah. When your children see you fulfilling a mitzvah from the Torah, so they will certainly learn from that. But that's not necessarily what's going to make the most dramatic impression upon them. What's going to make the most dramatic impression upon them is the hislavos, is the passion that you bring to the table. And it's not just on the important mitzvahs of matzah. It's on the nuances. It's on the minhagim. It's on the details. When your children see that you are scrupulous, not just with what the Torah tells us, but also what Chazal tells us, and also on the Minhagim, that is something that they will translate to themselves as Torah is important, Mesorah is important, Minhagim are important, Yiddishkeit is important to me. And so the next time you find yourself faced with something very important, something that seems, a little less important, whatever, and everybody can translate what that means to themselves in their own instance. Recognize that what your children are seeing is that you're giving some parts of Torah more important, some parts are less important. No. You have to have emphasis on every detail. Your children will see that. Your children will grow to continue the Mesorah and teach it to their children. Shkoch.
Okay, so I'm going to pick up where Rabbi Neuber left off in terms of the children. So the Arba Banim is the part of Haggadah that I was going to speak about. And Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the Arba Banim, really each of the children in the Arba Banim,
are really each and every one of us, and there are different phases that we go through in life where we identify and experience life at different tikufas, different phases where we identify with a different child. So I want to focus on the Russia. I think the Russia often is a fun one to focus on. You know, there's always a geschmack picture of the Russia, and if you have a picture, Haggadah is always a nice, very sharp looking guy dressed as the Russia at the table. But I think there's a lot of wisdom that we can learn from the Russia. So what's the question of the Russia? So the Russia says, Ma avoda azos lachem. What is this avoda? Lachem v'lo lo. For you, it's not for me, it's not for him. Ulufisha hotis asim in a cloud, kafir v'ikr. He says, because he took himself out of the equation, he's kafir v'ikr. He's denied some sort of fundamental idea when it comes to Judaism. He said, I'm out of here. I'm not part of it. What's the question of the Russia? And then we're all familiar with a very strong response. First of all, you got to punch him out. Leave, it says to Mitzrayim. Leave, you with emphasis say, because of this, Hashem did it for me and not for you. So a number of questions. First of all, if you look at the Torah, when the Russia asks this question, so the Torah gives a very different answer. The Torah's answer to Ma Avodah Azos Lachem is the Martim Zemach Pesach Ula Hashem. You're supposed to tell them Halachos of Korban Pesach, Asher Pasach, Abatev, Rein Shom, Mitzrayim, Vinog Po, Es Mitzrayim, Es Batein Tzil, Shetzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, skipped over the homes of the Jewish people and over our home. That's not the answer the Baal HaGadah gives, which is really based on a Mechilta. So, first of all, what is the question of the Russia? And what's the response? Why do we have a different response in the Torah? And also, what do we have? This Abba de Hakeshinov, also with such passion. So, I saw this idea in the Sefer of Bnei Bechor Yisrael, sort of Avram Zvi Kluger. And he has a fascinating idea that he says that for many people, it's easier to grasp the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a chosen nation. There's an Am HaNivchar. But what's harder for people to grasp is the notion that I, as an individual, that me and my family, that we matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the Russia is asking is, Ma avodah zos lachem? I understand there's a lachem. I understand there's a klal yisrael. Lachem lo lo, that's not for me. I choose to live my life differently. There is a Jewish nation. There is a chosen nation. I as a yachid, I live differently. Okay? The Baal HaGadah says that someone with such a mindset that thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only cares about the nation, klal yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, it's kafir b'ikr. He's missed something fundamental to Yahus. What's the fundamental Yisro? The fundamental Yisro is that Pesach is not just about Klal Yisrael. It's not just about the entire Jewish nation and the birth of a nation. Pesach is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved each and every one of our homes. Not to contradict what Rabbi Newport said, but it's the flip side. You look at the Psachim, focuses on the Masechta, but Pesach focuses on Karsh Baruch, the Dilu. Each and every house, a Karsh Baruch, the holiday is called Pesach. Each and every house, a Karsh Baruch made a decision, I'm going to save that house. I'm going to save that house. I'm going to save that person. I'm going to save that person. The Rush doesn't understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just love the nation, but he loves each and every one of our families and each and every one of us as individuals. And Pesach is a celebration that in each and every one of our homes, we're not just celebrating the birth of a nation, the salvation of the Jewish people from slavery. No. There's a nes that was individually done for each and every one of our homes. The Sforno says on the pasuk in the Torah, Yud Beis Chaf Vav. The Sforno says that's the question of the Rasha. Lama lo yaspi karban echad l'chol yisrael kol mishar karbanos tzibur. All other karbanos we bring karbanos tzibur. What is this holiday? My family has to bring a carbon. Your, my neighbors has to bring a carbon. What's going on here? Because the Rashi didn't understand the significance of the yachid, the significance of the bayis, the significance of each and every prat that makes up Klal Yisrael that is holy and special on their own. So the answer of the Torah, I think, would have been a perfect answer. We make reference to the fact that Hashem skipped over all of the homes of Jewish people. That's what Tzedu eats you. The Pasuk in the Torah responds to the Rashi and says, he also saved my individual home. The Pasternak family, the Lipschitz family, the Blumenthal family. Each home has to feel our individual family, our individual selves was saved. And the Torah is offering that response. I don't know why the Torah, why the Baal HaGadah couldn't just use the Lashon of the Torah. It would have seemed to be a very good response, and this is the question of the Rasha. But perhaps, perhaps, the response that the Baal HaGadah does bring, based on the Mechilta, of Ate Haki Yashinu Va'emelo, it's like more passionate, more fiery, because he wants each and every one of us to respond to the Rasha, to respond to, maybe it's the Rasha inside of every one of us, or the Rasha, proverbial Russian, say, Bavur za asa Hashem, leave it, say to Mitzrayim. We have to say with more oomph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. Ari, just for you, it was worth it to have a Pesach. Just for you. And for your whole family, but just for you alone. That's the notion. We have to, the Torah gives us an answer, and the Pshat of the text was an appropriate answer. But maybe the Baal HaGadah wants us to get up there and say, Bavur ze asa Hashem li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me. I'm important. My being saved is important. My family is important. Our traditions are important. Of course, Klal Yisrael is important. We should be zocha. We should be zocha to say with passion, to feel that our Avoras Hashem, not just on Pesach, this is just the start of Avor Hashem, the start of the birth of our people, but the birth of each and every one of our dedication to Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about our tefillos, he cares about our mitzvos, and he cares about our nihugim. He cares about each and every one of us. We should feel proud. We should celebrate the Pesach for ourselves, for our families, and of course also for Klal Yisrael. Is that a question? Or?
Yeah, wait,
please.
Better upset.
Two responses. One is saying maybe it's just an attitude. If you have an attitude that you're not important, okay, so then you've said even as it, you if you don't think you're important, so you're gonna walk away. Maybe the response is with that type of attitude that you don't think you're important, it's not gonna cover bicker. You've lost the point. But I did see that Rav Tzedek HaKohen says that the Russia, just the fact that Russia is there, like the Babaji Rebbe, the fifth child, the fact that the Russia shows up is a value that he shows up. Rav Tzedek HaKohen says that he clearly, forget the exact Lashem, he says that he clearly would have been saved because he's a descendant of someone who was saved, and he clearly would have been saved also. The Russia in Mitzrayim, who isn't saved, that's not the Russia sitting that you might know, you might think is a part of each and every one. The Russia today would be saved.
I've heard this.
Barbara Donath, what a beautiful part. Explanation on the response to the Russia. It's fantastic. So the Navi Yecheskel in Perek Tzayin, a number of these psukim are quoted in the Haggadah itself, describes Yitzias Mitzrayim as the Yom Hiladus of the birth of the Jewish nation. And this is expressed in a number of psukim, a number of times at the beginning of Perek Tzayin. You'll see over there in Pasuk Dalet, the Moed Lishayach B'Yoyim Hulad V'Saisach. Pasuk Hey, B'Yoyim Hulad, again, B'Yoyim B'Goyel Nafshich, B'Yoyim Hulad V'Saisach. The Pasuk continuously refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim as a time of birth. And of course, the next pasuk is already quoted in the Haggadah, Ve'ever alayich ve'erich mispeseses v'tamoyich, I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood. So it's quoted in the Haggadah. The question has to be asked, why is it that the Leidas Am Yisrael, the birth of the Jewish people, was associated specifically with a process known as Yitzias Mitzrayim, and not other, some other way? Dafka through Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's how we have the birth of the Jewish people. Why did the birth of the Jewish people have to take place? Dafka through Yitzias Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim, leaving an environment so decadent like Mitzrayim. What about Yitzias Mitzrayim tells us about who we are? Why is our identity somehow connected and so intimately bound up with Yitzias Mitzrayim? In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch says something in Parshas Bo'i. He says, with regard to the mitzvah of Pesach, he says, don't be surprised that there are so many positive mitzvahs, negative mitzvahs. Ki hu yisayv gadol v'amud chazok v'tayroseinu v'amunaseinu. Pesach, the mitzvah of Pesach, Ktzias Mitzrayim, is a yisayv gadol. It's a great foundation. It's a great and a very important pillar of our belief system, of our Torah. And he goes on to enumerate a number of different parts of Yiddishkeit, very important parts of Yiddishkeit, that we gain from the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But still, why is it that Yitzias Mitzrayim specifically is the process that gives birth to the Jewish people? And it's something that not only is meant to be a memory of the past, as we see in the Haggadah very clearly. First, the Haggadah begins by emphasizing the fact that the redemption, the liberation, was specifically for our forefathers. V'hi sha'om do la'aviseinu v'lonu. Le'yas aviseinu bilvad. Again, the emphasis first on our ancestors. Ala afeisana, but also us. Then, l'fichoch, l'mi sha'osa la'aviseinu. We're going to praise the one who did great miracles, la'aviseinu, for our forefathers. V'lonu, and also to us. But then, when it comes to the bracha, asher ge'olonu, we say asher ge'olonu first. Hashem redeemed us first, and then we go us obviously. Now already we're already deep enough into the Haggadah that the geula is something that now speaks to us personally. It's now a recurring redemptive process. It's not just something that happened in the past. In fact, we say this very clearly in Haggadah, that every generation, a person has to see himself, chai v'adam liris es atzmai, and even according to the Girsa of the Rambam, and Al-Tareb brings it down in Shulchan Aruch, laharis es atzmai, to show and display for others, sheyotzim v'mitzkilu, yotzim v'mitzrayim. So of course we know, we have in all the Sifrei Drush and all the Haggadahs, they all talk about this idea that Yitzias Mitzrayim represents the eternal struggle that we have to contend with our own Yetzer Hara, with our own evil inclination, and how this is all represented by Mitzrayim. And the Yitzias Mitzrayim leaving our constraints. But then you have to ask yourself the question, in Yiddishkeit there's also the concept of a tzaddik, somebody who doesn't have a Yetzer Hara, someone who's not limited by the constraints and the conflict and the inner confusion that is engendered by the evil inclination. David HaMelech says, "V'libi cholol b'kirbi," my heart is empty inside me, and as the Gemara tells us, "Shaharigi b'taimus," he got rid of his yetzer. So, what does Yitzias Mitzrayim have to do with the tzaddik? And so, I'd like to share, if it's possible, the following idea. We know, and I was mentioned before, Rabbi Shastak brought it out beautifully. Essentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bo'er, the Creator, and us Nivroim, us creations, we are at polar opposites. We are a contradiction. And the gulf that separates us can't be overcome with any great ideas, with any great insight, with any great analysis, with any great discovery. None of this will capture the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our minds. And any insight that we have into Hashem's greatness, is all just a ray. It's a glimmer. It's a tiny expression of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch. And by us appreciating that, it just simply confirms that we are limited human beings. We are very, very defined and very, very constrained by our limitations. So whatever understanding we have, again, that's just another proof that all we have in our terms of our relation with the Gebishter would seem to be just a little glimmer, just a little ray of connection. What that means is that even a tzaddik, even a great Talmud Chacham, even great people who have achieved great things spiritually, great understanding, ultimately, at the end of the day, are still within the framework that we refer to as Mitzrayim de Kedusha, the constraints of holiness. Even within holiness, there are constraints. Even within holiness, there is a Mitzrayim. And the question then becomes, so is there a way to get out of Mitzrayim? Is there a way for us to transcend, to traverse all of that limitation? And so the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be grasped by anything. Lo yishtemeida v'lo yisrashim. Hashem is not known. He's not enumerated. He doesn't come b'chushban. The only place where he can come is the ella b'ru'usa d'liba, is in the arousal, in the will, and the desire of the heart. A yid in his heart can connect to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the essence of God Almighty. In other words, even though there's a concept of Mitzrayim de Kedusha, there's constraints within holiness itself, but a Yid has something unique. A Yid has something unique. And this goes back to a teaching of the Kuzvi. You may have heard this concept, discussed this concept before. We know within the created world, there are four categories. There's the Daimim, Tzemeya, Chaim, Medaber, the inanimate, the plant, the animal, and then there's the human. Then the Kuzri comes along in a Sefer, and he tells us there's another fifth category. And that's the Yid. A Yid has an Inyan HaLiki, he says he has a divine dimension. That makes him different than everything. The question is very obvious. We know there are four categories. What do you mean? You're telling me about a fifth category? We know there's four categories. You have to make up your mind. It's either four or there's five. And the answer is there are four categories. This divine dimension that we're talking about is not a created entity. It's the creator. It's the Eibishter. That part of the Eibishter, that chelek of the ka, that a Yid has. That a Yid has access to. But where is it? It's in Mitzrayim. It's in Mitzrayim, even in Mitzrayim to Kedusha. And so what Hashem does is he takes us out of Mitzrayim. He says, I want to introduce you, I want to catapult you into a journey. And every day and everything you do, you're constantly moving on a continuum of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything you do is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every mitzvah is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything we do is always trying to overcome the barriers, even the spiritual barriers, that separate us from the Eibishter. And this is something which is represented, or in essence, we see the essence of this in an expression that the Alter Rebbe used to say in a state of dveikus. You know, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov teaches a lot about the concept of dveikus, attachment, spiritual attachment to the Eibishter. And the Alter Rebbe, in a state of dveikus, in a state of spiritual attachment to the Eibishter, would say, I want nothing at all. I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I want nothing but you alone. In other words, what he's telling you is this. Every spiritual accomplishment, every spiritual attainment, even great things, ultimately have their constraints, ultimately have their limitations that separate us from the Eden. By giving birth to us in the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Eibishter is telling us, I want you to begin overcoming all of those barriers. And instead of getting distracted by Gan Eden, by Olam Haba, by great achievements, even spiritual achievements, you have to focus, you have to have your eyes focused on the goal. What's the goal? Ich will garnish it. I don't want anything else but Dirali, but only you. Why not just conclude by perhaps giving us another tenet, which I was thinking as Rabbi Markowitz was speaking about this idea of Yochel Meresh Chodesh. Why is Yochel Meresh Chodesh? Why would you think that we could have Pesach already by Yochel Meresh Chodesh? Because a Yid essentially has something within him that's above the Bria, above the creation. The whole idea of establishing the Zmanim, establishing a calendar, is that we have a Koyach over the calendar. We have a Koyach over Zman. Torah is a Pesach even on Olam Hazeh, even on the physical things. Which means that when Bezdin establishes that a certain Zman is supposed to be a certain way, so that it has physical applications in a very tangible way. As the Yerushalmi famously says, with regard to a girl who's 3 years old, whatever, without getting into the details. But the Maisa, the Vart is, what's the Yochel Meresh Chodesh? Our Yitzias Mitzrayim, our real Yitzias Mitzrayim is already when the Eibusha gives us the mitzvah of Meresh Chodesh. Why? Because he's telling us we are above the Bria, we are above all of the limitations of creation.
Good evening, everyone. Just want to conclude with just a short idea. Not really sure where to place this idea. There's really two places that you can find the idea that I'd like to speak about, which is really speaking about the special matzah that Rabbi Neubauer was speaking about, which is such a great idea. That you can share matzah and really deliver geula to another individual in the community or someone who's struggling. And I was thinking, as Rabbi Neubauer was talking, that's really what the Zohar HaKadosh says. This is the Meichel Demem Nusa. You can, through food, really elevate a person, and through food, you can allow him to become and to transform, to become a ma'amin, someone who's connected to Hashem. I was driving on Friday in Passaic, filling up gas, and I think you'll understand why the Halach Ma'anya popped into my head while I was filling up gas. I'm Avin Yavin. And no, seriously, I was, why am I thinking about this? And I saw the price on the gas, and I thought about Halach Ma'anya. And I started thinking about Halach Ma'anya. Why is it that we begin the Haggadah with Halach Ma'anya? And the famous question many of the Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim already on the Haggadah asked this question, that it's the only passage that's in another language, to the extent that some Rishonim even suggest that maybe this wasn't historically always part of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe it was added later. That's a major debate when this came about, this part of a Halach Ma'anya, but we usually assume that that's the beginning. The beginning of Magid, but later on, we talk about that same matzah, and we don't refer to it in that language in Aramaic and Halach Ma'anya Diachalna Avasana, the Mitzrayim, but rather we refer to it as Matzah Zusha Anu Oichlim Al Shum Ma. We change the language and we refer to that same matzah. And I'm in the gas station for some reason. I just started thinking about this, and what's the reason for this? And I started thinking about a Gemara in Brachos. And I'd like to share with you the Gemara in Brachos. And I'm sorry, I apologize that I'm going to read it inside, but there's a very specific reason why I'm reading this Gemara in Brachos inside. And the Gemara in Brachos is telling us a story about Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, "La'olam yehe adam ragil loymar kol man de'ovid rachmana l'tavla." Person should always be accustomed to saying whatever God does is for the good. Ki hod Rabbi Akiva, to have a ka'azel ba'urcha. This is like Rabbi Akiva that was walking on his way. Matala hi masa, he arrived at a certain town. Ba'a ashkuze, he requested to lodge in that area. Lo yohiv. And the people of the town did not let him stay in the area. They didn't grant him permission. Amar, he responded, Kol the Ovid Rachmana Latav Azal. Latav. Azal
Ubas Badibro, Bahava Bade, Tarnagoil of the Chamra Vishrak. So he wasn't able to stay in the town, so he went off to the desert. He was going to take his sleeping bag and sleep in the desert. And he had with him a rooster, a donkey, and a candle. Asa Zika, a wind came, Kabye Lishrag, and blew out the candle. Asa Shunra, sounds like Chagadya. Asa Shunra, Achle Latarnagol. A cat came and ate his rooster. Asa Aryeh, a lion came, Achle Lacham, and ate his donkey. Amar, he said, Kol the Ovid Rachmano Latar. He responded, whatever God does is for the good. Beba Laila, Asa Gaisa, that night, there was a troop, a bunch of bandits, and they came, Shavya Lamasa, they captured the town. Amr Lahu, Lav Amri Lacha, Kol Masha Asa, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hakol Litu. He turns to his Talmidim and he says, didn't I tell you everything that God does is for the good? Yet there's something striking in this Gemara. Sounds like a repetitive story, but it's not. Something changes in this Gemara. Rabbi Akiva, in every step of the way, mentioned in Aramaic, Kol manda ovid rachmona letav ovid, in Aramaic. He said, whatever God does is for the good. And yet afterwards, when everything became clear, and then in retrospect, he understood, why was it that I couldn't go and lodge in that area? Because ultimately that area, that town, was captured by a bunch of bandits. And that would have been something horrible for me. He turned to his Talmidim and he said the same statement, not in Aramaic, but he said it in Hebrew. Kol masha osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu letovos. Why is that? Why wasn't he consistent in his language? The Kajan Samagid is a beautiful idea. He's explaining a different pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Bishalach, but the Kajan Samagid tells us that Aramaic is the language of gods. Aramaic is the language, is the way we speak when things aren't clear. When deep down we believe, but we can't see it vividly. We can't see it with clarity. We can't say it the Lashon HaKodesh. We can only say things, as the Kashrut Samagit say, with a targum, in a roundabout way. We believe, we think, but we can't point to it. The Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, is the one language, but that's exactly precisely what it is. It's with clarity. That's the Milo of Lashon HaKodesh, above and beyond every other Lashon, every other language. Every other language is around and about, is not exactly precise. Lashon HaKodesh Hebrew is exactly what the entity is. And that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva was demonstrating and why the Gemara shifts from the Lashon of Targum, Lashon of Aramid, to the language of Lashon HaKodesh. Once I got the clear picture, once I saw what actually happened to the town, why this whole process happened, then I say, I can understand what truly happened. This is what the Kashdut Magid says on the Targum, on the Pasuk in Bishalach. Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Void. The Pasuk says, Hashem will rule. And the Targum says, Hashem Koi. Hashem is ruling right now. We can't say that right now. We don't see his rulership right now. We know it. We believe it. But we can't point to it. And the Targum is telling us right now Hashem is really the Melech. But that's not something that we could say B'Lashon HaKodesh today. The idea of the Kajut Samagid. I think that Kajut Samagid applies to this Gemara. But more importantly, L'Inyanenu tonight, I think this Kajut Samagid and this idea applies to the entire story of Magid. Going from the Halach Mo'anya, that language that I don't really understand, all the experiences that I've gone through this year and last year,
Laila, it's so dark out, and it's so not clear. It's a time of gullus, and I can't speak with that language that I'm confident with, that's precise. And then we go through the experience of Leil Hasid, and everything changes. And that same passage, Halach Mahanya, that same matzah on the one hand, is two sides of a coin. On the one hand, yes, was difficult, shibud, was such a difficult piece of matzah in the gullus, was a matzah that we couldn't even speak clearly. You know what happened? Ultimately, at the end of Maggid, we started understanding why the whole process had to happen, and we don't anymore refer to it as Halach Mahanya, Nachal Na'avashan Abayr the Mitzrayim. We start speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Matzah Zusha Anu Ochlim Al Shum Ma. We start speaking Hebrew. No longer komand over achmona letavavid. Komasha osa akadosh baruch hu letova osa. We start speaking. Loshon HaKodesh. That's what Rabbi Akiva is teaching us. Rabbi Akiva. I remember when I was in high school. I had a Rebbe in 12th grade in MTA. And Rabbi Fine was his name. And he said this one vart. I think later on I found it in the Aruch HaShulchan. Said this one vort that stuck with me for the rest of my life. He said, why is it that all of the Talmidei Chachamim are coming to Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva was their Talmud. Rabbi Akiva is supposed to visit them on Yat. They're not supposed to come to him. Why is it that they're all coming to him? Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva shayu yoshvim b'Bnei Brak. It's the opposite. And he said so beautifully because Rabbi Akiva, as we know, had that perspective. Rabbi Akiva was the one that was able, in the time of Golis in Bavel, to be able to see the light, just like Rabbi Akiva in the end of Maseches Makkos is able to laugh when he walks by the Makom and the Churban HaMikdash, he's able to see the future good. This is the same Rabbi Akiva that teaches us this lesson of transforming from Kol Ma Da'ovid Rachmana L'Tav Ovid to Kol Ma She'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tovos. Who is the best Rebbe to take us with a piece of matzah that we can only see Aramaic, and that same piece of matzah turn into Matzah She'anu Ochlim Al Shulma? That is Rabbi Akiva. That is that Rabbi Akiva that the Rebbeim came to the Talmud to gain insight, to transform this night to no longer be a night. As the Pasuk says, tonight is not a night time. Laila k'yom yoyer. There will be an illumination on this night. This night will no longer be gullus. This night will no longer be Aramaic. This night will no longer be dark. This night will illuminate like the daytime. That is the yesod of Maggid. That is the purpose of Rabbi Akiva, and that, I believe, is why we start off with that strange language of Halach Ma'anya, and then we refer to that same piece of matzah to understand that they didn't only eat that matzah when they were Avodim and Mitzrayim, but that same matzah was the matzah when they left Mitzrayim, and now we can say it in Hebrew. Kol Masha Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'tova Asa.
Good evening, Shalom. I apologize. I didn't know when this was scheduled to have a Monday night class every week, and I put them on hold. Gave myself a few minutes to come here. Thank you for including me in this, and I hope I won't be repeating too much of what was said prior. I'd like to focus for a moment on Shfoch HaMoscho. I took a chance, and I said to myself, probably that's not one of the more popular parts of the Pesach Seder. And, you know, so the probability is not too many of my Baruch Hashem distinguished colleagues chose to speak about Shfoch HaMoscho. Okay, I'll tell you why I am so excited about Shfoch HaMoscho. Here we go. If you were to ask me, what are we celebrating this Leil HaShabbos, this Motzoi Shabbos? In Eretz Yisrael, they get it right the first time, and we're given that extra chance to, quote, get it right. We're celebrating one word. We're celebrating Emuna. What does that mean? It means put yourself back a little more than 3,000 years ago. It's 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, and you come in to a Jew's home in Mitzrayim. And what do you see on the table? You see a big room, many people. We're not going to go into all the particulars, but you see the Korban Pesach roasted, and you see the matzah, and you see the maror. And there's clearly a festive air about the room. And you ask them, excuse me, what are you celebrating? And what's their answer? One word, faith. We're celebrating that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said will happen. We're celebrating as if it happened. Like Rashi says by the Bris Ben Absarim. At the time of the Bris Ben Absarim, Avraham Avinu, 70 years old, doesn't have anybody. There's no Yishmael, there's no nothing. Bayomahu Karas Hashem Bris is Yisrael as Avraham. Limor Lizaracho Nosati. Nosati? Rashi asks, I've given the land to you. He doesn't have children yet. What does Rashi say? Amiraso, the very statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's already in the bank. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, it's going to happen. They celebrated on the night of the Pesach Seder, which is why you'll tell the people just at your Pesach Seder, come on, hurry up. And the shaila is, do I insult my wife and say, I know you worked hard and there's a dessert, but oy, 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 booby, it's almost 5 to 1 and I have to eat the afikoman. Or no, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe you should be more sensitive to your wife. Okay, we shouldn't have these problems. You'll eat your dessert at 12:30 this year, etc. And you'll have the afikoman before. Why? We are reliving the past. Just as they celebrated before it happened, we eat the matzah, which, according to the Rush, the afikoman is a zecher of the Pesach. We're eating it before it happened. It's easy to celebrate after chatzos. That's easy. Now we know. Paro says, get out. Oh, why am I celebrating? I'm celebrating. I'm free. No, they celebrated before. We relive it the same thing. That's why we're so careful about chatzos. Good. Now take a deep breath. We said the first two paragraphs of the Hallel before the meal. Halukah halu avdei Hashem. Now we became avdei Hashem. Prior to this, we were avdei Paro. B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. Good. And then, come on. Rabbi Markowitz says to Sarah, you know something? I'm hungry. So instead of the good wife, instead of saying, no, Rabbi Avram, wait a few minutes. Just how long does it take to sing the rest of the Hallel? No, okay. Baruch Hashem, she pleads. Why are we splitting the Hallel? Because the rest of the Hallel is same thing. Our confidence in the Geula Ho'asida. All the Nevi'im were misnabe for the Geula Ho'asida. Did they have a Ma'ariv yet? There will be a Ma'ariv. Oh, lucky you. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, stop. What does Rashi say? Achshav, now he's Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, when La'asav Lavo. And Rashi on the spot quotes from the Navi Tzfanya. Rashi on the spot quotes that Mitzvah Hashem, as we complete the Oleinu every day. Voy Hashem LeMelech al Kol La'aretz. What's going on after the third cup of wine? We are celebrating the Geula O'asida. Nishmas Kol Chai. Haluas Hashem Kol Goyim. It's not just Am Yisrael, it's the nations of the world. And therefore we come now to the part that I wanted to share with you tonight. Forgive me. In the past, it's almost like Shvoch HaMoscha rubs us the wrong way. Come on, we're a peace-loving people. We're all positive. What's this Shvoch HaMoscha? Just seems a little bit, or maybe even a lot, out of character. But the answer is, listen carefully now. The whole world today recognizes that there is a state of Israel. They want to go from here to there. They tune into Waze. knew, and where did waste come from? Among the many, many, and they know that so much technology, etc., comes from the land of Israel. But they are like Mark Twain, who did not like or love the Jews. But he writes, I don't understand. I can't understand it. Everybody else, all the civilizations come and go. The Jew is eternal. And that's where he stops. He stops with, he doesn't understand it. We know they refuse to take it to the next level. There's only one way that we are an eternal people. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the beautiful relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in us. I saw this afternoon in the Haggadah of the Netziv, a delicious idea. Forgive me if I'm going too long. I don't know. You didn't tell me how much time. Okay, is anybody going after me? Oh, okay. I told them 15 minutes. I told them, okay. So very quickly, listen to this. Why? What's the difference how we got out? No, he says so beautifully, my Sinisim, listen carefully. Had we gotten out any other way, it could have been an Esther influences. No, we'd find a way to get somebody to influence Pharaoh. It could have been a revolution. We'd lose a few men, but no, we could have gotten out so many ways. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in us in a way which was Lamalo Menateva, right? With all the Nisim and the flows prior to the night, that's the whole idea of the Eser Makos. And the idea that at one moment, every house, ain't bias, asher, ain't shamais, etc., that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by investing so much in us, he says so beautifully, that lo aleinu, when Klal Yisrael sins, with the chet ha'egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, achale osam kiraga, that's it, I'm getting rid of them, etc. So Moshe could say, lama yomu Mitzrayim. Why should Mitzrayim and the rest of the world say, look how much he, I'll use that word again, invested in us, meaning that it would be lo aleinu chil Hashem, which is that if we're not worthy of it, but for your sake, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the idea behind the night of Pesach is that we're celebrating this special investment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made then in Mitzrayim, and Baruch Hashem, it's Hemshechius. It's thank God that we feel this love, especially on tonight, as we do on the day of Yom Kippur. So the bottom line is that we say, Shvoch HaMoscha El HaGoyim, you want to know why? Listen carefully. Because they are Ma'akev the Geula. Translate that for the people at your Pesach Seder. Okay, it's tough talk. Obviously, it comes from Tilemayin Tess, but it's tough talk. But just what it means. It means that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they see that there's an Am Yisrael. They see everything that's going on. They see that unbelievable, that the psukim of the Torah came true. One of my favorite psukim in the Torah. Everyone's had that for you. Okay, Vashimosi ani esa'aretz. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Klal Yisrael in Bichukosai that when you are not there, nobody will be able to make the goal of the land of Israel. Unbelievable. We gave away Gush Katif. Put your hands down. You like it, you don't like it. They didn't ask you about giving back Gush Katif. How many cherry tomatoes have the Arabs gotten out of Gush Katif? And before, bring it up at your Seder. This is it, Shvoch HaMoscha. And we had tons came out. We exported cherry tomatoes to Europe, etc. And what's the answer? The answer is, everybody's afraid. Because if I recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then all of a sudden, for them, Sheva Mitzvos. They don't live Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noah. They're afraid. That's whatever it is. Think about it. So therefore, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shvoch HaMoscha El HaGoyim. Of course, we are a peace-loving people, and of course, but the idea is that they too, T-O-O, play a role in this Geula or Asida, and therefore, Halavai, they should come willingly. But if not, we say, we want the Geula, we want the Geula now, right? And therefore, if necessary, Shvuch HaMosfot L'Agoyim. Thank you for this opportunity, for sharing this with you. I wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. I think it's such a wonderful thing that we get together, the Rabbanim in the community. I wish them Hatzlacha and everybody together. And thank you for this big, big nachas. Please forgive me, I got round two.
Okay, Chag Kosher V'Sameach, everybody. We're going to have Mariv right next door right now, followed by Ezra Hashem Kiddush Levana.